I want us to read this scripture to see why this story of Queen Sheba coming to Solomon is so important. Our Lord himself told us there's a very important lesson for us in this picture of Christ our King. The title of the message is The Half Cannot Be Told. Matthew 12, verse 42, this is what our Lord says. The Queen of the South, that's the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This is what our Lord is telling us. Those who refuse to come to Christ will be judged by how this example, the Queen of Sheba, how she came to Solomon. You know, she put forth a lot of effort. She traveled for weeks, maybe months, to get from where she was to Solomon. How often do we not want to travel 20 minutes to get to the surface, to hear of one greater than Solomon? She made a lot of effort. And she came to Solomon to be taught. She came with a teachable attitude. How often can we not be taught because we know it all already? Oh, you can't teach a know-it-all anything. I've heard this before. We'll never learn of Christ with that attitude, will we? The lesson for us here is the importance of coming to Christ and coming to Him for everything that we need. Now, 1 Kings, much of this book, is written to show us the results of disobedience. You know, when Israel had a good king, a king that followed the Lord, all of Israel was blessed. And when they had a king who was disobedient, like King Ahab, who didn't follow the Lord, all of Israel suffered. Do you think how blessed Israel was to have David as their king, Solomon as their king? All of Israel was blessed, weren't they? But one greater than Solomon's here. How blessed are we to have Christ as our king, to have Christ as our sovereign? A believer is blessed to have Christ as our king for this reason, because of God's love for sinners that's in his son. In 1 Kings 10, verse 9, listen to what the queen says to Solomon. She said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel." How God the Father delighted in his son, to set him on the throne of all. "And because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." Spiritual Israel is blessed because God loves them. He set his eternal love upon them and made Christ our king. Now, we're commanded to come to Christ. Every person in this room is commanded to come to King Christ and bow before him, to come and beg him for mercy. And when we're disobedient and do not come, we will suffer. But when we do come to Christ, by God's grace, when we're enabled to come to Christ, we're blessed more than human language can ever express. That's why the queen said, "Solomon the half hasn't even been told me." Well, if half the glory of Solomon couldn't be told, I promise you only a fraction of the glory of Christ can be told. And that's part of the great difficulty in preaching. You men who preach, you know this. You go home and you just sigh. Your wife says, "What's wrong? I could have said that better. I wish I said this. No matter how well you preach, you can't begin to tell the glory of King Christ. No matter how well you preach, I promise you, you cannot begin to do the subject justice. But, you know, there also, in a way, that takes a lot of pressure off of preaching. All you got to do is just come tell what the Lord showed you. Just jump in there in the deep end and just swim around for about 40 minutes and get out. You haven't plumbed the depths. But God's people will be blessed if Christ is preached. Just preach Christ, what God showed you, and God's people will be blessed. So I've got five things, like questions, I want to ask here about the Queen of Sheba. First, why did the queen come to Solomon? Well, she came to Solomon because she heard something. She heard about Solomon's glory. Look in 1 Kings 10, verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Now, the queen somehow heard of Solomon. Could be she was in her own country and there was an ambassador from Israel. And he came to her and told her about Solomon. Well, when people hear of Christ, you know how they're going to hear of him? They're going to hear from one of God's ambassadors, one of his preachers. Paul said, we're ambassadors for Christ. That's the job of the preacher, to tell people about King Christ, to tell people about the glory of our Redeemer. Maybe she heard from an ambassador. Maybe she heard from a traveler in her country, someone who was from Israel. Maybe they were in her country on business. And she happened to meet them and she heard about this King Solomon. How many times have people heard of Christ from someone they work with? Maybe someone they know socially. We ought to always look for opportunities to tell people about Christ. Invite them to come to service with us and hear of our King. We ought to be ready to give people a CD or, you know, there's an article you particularly love in the bulletin. Cut it out and save it. Give it to somebody. Maybe that's how they'll hear. Who knows? We never know if we're talking to one of God's elect or not, do we? The only way we'll ever know is if they come to Christ. The way we know we're one of God's elect is when we hear of him, we believe him, and we come to him. The queen heard about Solomon, and she came to find out for herself if these things were so. But now she heard something specifically about Solomon that made her come to him. She heard, verse 1 says, she heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to Solomon not to establish a peace treaty between their countries. She didn't come there to establish a trade business or increase trade revenue. She didn't come to learn how to build these big buildings Solomon was building. She came to Solomon with a religious interest. She came to find out about the Lord, who he is. And she came to Solomon. She knew this about Solomon. He knows the Lord. Now I want to know him. And she came to Solomon to find out who the Lord is. And when a sinner comes to Christ, when I tell you, you come to Christ, I don't mean come to religion. I don't mean come to religious ceremonies. I don't mean come to certain doctrines that we all hold to. I mean come to Christ. You come to the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to him because you've heard about him. You've heard about his glory and forgiveness. You've heard about his glory in showing mercy and grace to sinners. You've heard about his glory in putting away the sin of his people. You come to him because you need him. You need his person. You need him to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. That's why the queen came to Solomon. Well, secondly, how did the queen come to Solomon? She came needy. She came with some questions that she could not answer herself. Look at verse 2. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. Now the queen came empty. Now I know verse 2 tells us all these presents that she came with. And that's just the right thing for her to do. You're a queen, you go visit another head of state, you bring these presents. Remember now, this is just a picture. Just a picture. A sinner does not come to Christ this way. All these spices and gold and precious stones that you got, you count them as dung. And you leave them at home, and you come to Christ empty-handed, as an empty-handed beggar. And the queen came to Solomon empty, just like a sinner comes to Christ. She came, and the first thing she did was she told him everything that was in her heart. She just laid it all open, bare, to Solomon. That's the way a sinner comes to Christ. We come to him and lay open our heart. There's no point trying to hide anything. He sees everything. There's no point in hiding it. Just lay it all open before him. Confess our sin and our need to him. We confess not just what we've done, but we confess what we are. We're empty, needy sinners. We're rebels against Him, and we need mercy. Just confess it all. Lay your heart open to the Lord. And then the queen came to be taught. There's so many things she heard, she didn't understand. She just didn't understand. Well, there are so many things a sinner cannot understand. We cannot understand until we know Christ, who's the answer to everything we need to know. So the queen came to prove Solomon with some hard questions. She had hard questions, questions she could not answer. That's what she came to Solomon with. That's the way a sinner comes to Christ, with hard questions, problems that we cannot answer. And you know, Solomon answered every question. Every question she threw up, he knew the answer because God gave him wisdom. Every question a sinner has, every question is answered by Christ. Not just that he gives us the answer, but Christ himself is the answer. He is the wisdom of God. And there are some hard questions. There are many of them. I just got four. There are many hard questions that ought to be asked. These are questions we should be asking, and they're questions that God's prophet should answer. Here's one Job asked. How can a man be justified with God? How? Now you tell me, how can he be clean? A man be clean that's born of a woman? Well, the law can't do it, can it? By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Religious ceremonies can't do it. You know, Israel observed the Passover for how many years? Salvation, justification, the forgiveness of sin was never in that ceremony of the Passover. It wasn't those Passover lambs and putting the blood on. That's just a picture. Justification is in Christ our Passover, who sacrificed for us. The waters of baptism. Don't look at that as a ceremony. Now, that doesn't save anybody. It's a confession of what God's done already for you, but that ceremony is not going to save you. Christ saves. The one who died, was buried, rose again. He's the Savior. See, it's not in ceremony. It's not in law. The only way a sinner can be justified, made without sin, is in Christ. A sinner is made righteous because Christ took the sin of his people. He took it in his own body on the tree. And he put it away through the blood of his sacrifice. And he gave his people his own perfect righteousness that he earned as a man. And he made them righteous. That's what Scripture says. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be justified in Christ. That's the only way that God can remain God. That God can remain holy and just and still justify the ungodly. It's through the sacrifice of the substitute. How can a man be justified with God? Through the sacrifice of Christ. Look over Romans chapter 3. How can a man be justified with God? Well, it's going to take grace, isn't it? We're justified by grace. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. How can a man be justified with God? It's by faith in Christ. Like Romans 3, verse 28, we're justified by faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Look at Romans 5, verse 9. How can a sinner be justified? Only by the blood of Christ. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. One more scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. How is a sinner justified? Only by the eternal purpose of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That's how we're justified. It's in Christ. It's by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, through the blood of Christ, by the purpose of God. That's how a sinner is justified. Well, here's a question that must be answered, or must be asked and must be answered. What is this business I hear about the new birth? What are you talking about when you talk about the new birth? You said a person's got to be born again. But how can a man be born when he's old? The queen might have asked, she said, I've already been born, I'm old. How can I be born? What are you talking about, this being born again? Well, the new birth is not like the first birth. You know, being born the second time, just like you're born the first time, won't do you any good. You'll be born a sinner again because you're born from sinful seed. The new birth is new in every way. It's the birth of a new man, a new spiritual man. Not the birth of a fleshly man, the birth of a spiritual man. A man who's never existed before. And he's born in a different way. He's born from new seed, from a new father. So he's got a new nature. Look at John chapter 3. This is what our Lord told Nicodemus. What is this about the new birth? Why is this so important? You tell me I must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A man in the flesh doesn't have the ability to see or understand or enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. See, we're not talking about a fleshly birth. He's got to be born of the water and the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll only ever be useless flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. That's the new birth. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. This is a work of God that He does in the hearts of His people. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Here's a question. How can God, who sees everything, not see my sin? How can God, who knows everything, how can He not remember my sin? Well, I told you already, Christ is the answer to every question. It's in Christ, isn't it? The sacrifice of Christ for His elect is so powerful and so effectual that the sin of God's elect doesn't even exist anymore. That's how God doesn't see it. See if this is what the writer to Hebrews says in Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, This is the covenant thou wilt make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and I'll write them in their minds. And in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, because of the blood of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Matthew chapter 23. Like I said, there are many hard questions we can look at. We'll just look at these four. But this is a good question. A question that ought to be asked. And a question that ought to be answered. Matthew 23, verse 33. This is our Lord speaking to the Pharisees. He says, You serpents, and you generations of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? How can you escape the damnation of hell? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, the answer is Christ. The only way we can escape the damnation of hell is if Christ suffered hell for you as your substitute. As Christ hung on the cross, the Father had made Him guilty of the sin of His people. And at that time, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered hell for His people. Hell is not so much fire and brimstone as it's separation from God. That's hell. Separation from God. Separation from His love and His affection, His grace, His presence. As a Savior, the substitute, hung on Calvary's cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the cry of hell itself. He suffered hell for his people. And if Christ suffered that for you, you'll never suffer it. That's how you escape the damnation of hell, separation from the Father, because Christ suffered it for you. See, the answer is always Christ. If you find Christ, you've got the key. You've got the answer. We were talking about this the other day. Mike was mentioned about subbing in a math class. He'd give me the answer book. That's the way I'm going to be able to do it. Give me the answer book. If you've got Christ, you got the answer book. You got the key. He's the answer to everything regarding salvation. Christ is all in eternal life. He's all in redemption. He's all in acceptance with God. Now you come to Christ, and you come to be taught. Come to learn of Him. You learn who Christ is, and you'll have eternal life. Well, here's my third question. What did the queen learn when she came to Solomon? She learned who Solomon really is. She didn't just see the buildings and his government. She learned who Solomon really is. And when Christ reveals himself to his people, you're not just going to learn points of doctrine. You're going to learn who Christ really is. Now, we already saw the queen, she learned about the wisdom of Solomon. He answered her every question. Well, you come to Christ. Now, you're going to learn who he is. Who is he? He's the wisdom of God. When a sinner comes to Christ, now I see God's wisdom and salvation. The only way it's possible for me to see how can God save a sinner like me is when I see Christ. Now I see God's wisdom. He can save me in Christ my substitute. That's divine wisdom. And then the queen, she learned about the house that Solomon built. Look at verse 4. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built. Now the house that's referred to here is the temple. It's the house of the Lord that Solomon built. And Solomon's temple is famous for its grandeur, isn't it? But you know, the temple is a picture of Christ. And it's also a picture of Christ dwelling in his people. Let me show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The tabernacle or the temple, it's a picture of Christ dwelling in his people. That's his house. First Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you're his temple, aren't you? A believer is the temple of God. Because Christ dwells in the hearts of his people just like he dwelt in his Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And that temple Solomon built, I mean, it was something. That was one of the glorious buildings in the history of this earth. But you know that the house that Christ has built is much more impressive than Solomon's. One greater than Solomon's here. When Solomon built his temple, he used the best materials from all over the world, didn't he? Wayne, I bet when you built your house, you used pretty much the best you could buy, couldn't you? You didn't want cheap stuff. You can put your wife and children in this thing. You don't want to fall down. You know, when Christ built his house, he used the worst material he could find from all through his creation. He used sinners. He used dead sinners, and he made them living stones. And that's how he built his house. Now that shows you the true glory of Christ the builder, Christ the architect of his house. Solomon used the best materials he could find. Where's his house now? It's gone. Christ used the worst materials he could find. Washed them in his blood, caused them to be born again by his Spirit, and his house will stand forever. What a house. When she saw that temple Solomon built, she saw the glory of the wisdom and talent of the builder. Then verse 5, she learned about the meat of Solomon's table. She saw the meat of his table. I want you to look back at 1 Kings chapter 4. This is what she saw, the provision of Solomon's table every day. 1 Kings 4, verse 22. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, 100 sheep, besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. Now I'm telling you, that's a lot of food. And that wasn't just Thanksgiving now. Every day, that was the meat at Solomon's table. That's what he had to feed the people in his palace. If you ate at Solomon's table, you had plenty to eat, didn't you? And plenty of good food to eat. Well, there's one greater than Solomon here. Christ our King has a table that's much more glorious. Christ is the table. The head of the table, the King. He is the meal. He is the provision of the table. We eat His flesh and drink His blood. And that's meat indeed and drink indeed. It's eternal life. We eat at Christ's table freely. All you can eat. There's a lot of food on Solomon's table. But there was a limit to it, wasn't there? You come to Christ's table. There's no limit. It's all you can eat every day. Then the queen, she learned about Solomon's servants. Look here at verse 5. She saw the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers. Now you notice the first thing she noticed, she saw, she learned about Solomon's servants. They're sitting. The sitting of his servants. Who ever heard of a servant sitting? Servants don't sit. They scurry around and serve, don't they? These servants were sitting. That's a picture of the servants of Christ. Servants don't sit. The high priest in the tabernacle, they never sat. But Christ's people sit. They sit in complete rest in Christ. And they rest because the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, came to this earth as a servant. He appeared in the form of a servant. The King appeared in the form of a servant. And as a servant, He finished all the work that the Father gave Him to do. He never sat down until the work was finished. He hung on the cross and He cried, "It is finished." The work was done. What did He do then? He went back to glory, and His Father said, "Sit here on my right hand. Sit, because the work is finished." And His servants sit in Him. What are you up scurrying around for? The work's finished. There's nothing left to add. The work of redemption's finished. Now you sit. And you rest in Christ. She saw His servants resting. Then she also noticed this about Solomon's servants. She noticed their attendance. And that word means standing. Only in Christ can you rest and serve at the same time. Only in Christ can you rest and stand at the same time. These servants were always ready to serve Solomon. And she noticed this. They were happy to do it. Look what she says in verse 8. She says, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." When you read that, don't you get the idea that the Queen of Sheba was envious of these servants? The Queen was envious of these servants. She just thought, "I wish I could be as happy as those servants. How happy they are to stand in Solomon's presence all the time. Hear all these wise proverbs that come from his mouth." Well, all that is a picture of the believer standing before God. If you're in Christ, what you're standing before God? Accepted. Not called a servant, but a friend. You're my friend. What a standing with God. We stand accepted in Christ our substitute. And then here's the third thing she noticed about Solomon's servants. Was their apparel. Now she knew what heads of state looked like in other countries. And she thought, "Wow, look at these servants. They're dressed better than kings in other countries." That's the riches of Solomon. Well, you know, the servants of Christ, they are dressed exactly like the king because they wear his robe. They're dressed in his righteousness, so they look just like him. But now here's the fourth thing. This is the most important thing that the Queen of Sheba learned when she came to Solomon. She learned of the sacrifice of sin. At the end of verse 5, she saw in his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. She saw Solomon go up to the house of the Lord. She wasn't impressed with his church clothes or whatever. I don't know what he wore to go. She wasn't impressed with that. You know what she's impressed with? He went up to the house of the Lord. And what did she see when Solomon went to the house of the Lord? She saw the high priest come and offer a sacrifice. She saw the burnt sacrifice. Now she saw the heart of the matter. She came to find out about the Lord. Now she saw the heart of the matter. God can only be worshipped through a sacrifice. He's not worshipped through my obedience to the law, my doing all these following ceremonies. God can only be worshipped through the bloody sacrifice, the burnt offering. Atonement for sin can only be made by the blood. And how glorious is it that a sinner can approach God through the blood of the sacrifice? Sinners can come before God in the blood and be accepted. Now that's a picture of the great glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest glory of Christ is his sacrifice for his elect. And he gave himself for his people. The sacrifice of Christ is glorious in his mercy. Christ didn't die for good people. What's Scripture saying? Christ died for sinners. Oh, what mercy. The sacrifice of Christ is glorious in its scope. Christ died for sinners from every generation and every nation. The sacrifice of Christ is glorious in its cleansing power. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have you ever heard anything more glorious than that? Washed free from sin. The sacrifice of Christ is glorious in its drawing power. Christ lifted up, he said, will draw all unto him. What draws God's elect to him? The sacrifice of Christ is glorious in its drawing power. I love not having to talk you into doing anything. Just preach Christ. If you're his, you'll come. If he died for you, you'll come. The sacrifice of Christ is glorious in its completeness. Those high priests, after the order of Aaron, they offered millions of sacrifices. Christ offered one. One sacrifice for sin forever. The sacrifice of Christ is glorious in its preciousness. The sacrifice of Christ is so precious, it satisfied the Father. And it satisfied the need of every sinner. Oh, what a precious sacrifice. And it is my great prayer that the Holy Spirit will enable us to see the glory of Christ and his sacrifice for sin. If we see that, we'll come to Christ, just like the queen came, and we'll see the glory of the person of Christ. Here's my fourth question. What was the queen's reaction to what she saw? Look here at the end of verse 5. When she saw all this about Solomon, she saw the person of Solomon. There was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard." When the queen saw who Solomon really was, when she learned what she came to learn, when she saw God, she came to learn about the Lord, she was speechless. That's the believer's reaction to seeing Christ. Just speechless. What can you say about it? John, the beloved apostle, who leaned on the master's breast, was on the Isle of Patmos. And he heard a voice behind him. He turned to see who it was. And he saw the Lord. He didn't run up to him and shake his hand. He didn't run up to him and slap him on the back. This beloved apostle
fell at his feet as dead. He saw Christ, and there's no more life left, no more spirit left in him. And when we see Christ, by God's grace, we see him in his gospel, we see him in his word, and we must see him in awe and wonder. The awe of his person. Heaven can't contain him. And wonder at his grace. That someone like him would die for somebody like me. What wonder. What wonder. Christ is so high and I'm so low. He's holy and perfect and I'm completely sinful. He's so glorious and I'm so shameful. Yet he has mercy on me anyway. He gave himself for my sin anyway. Awe and wonder. And I'm sure the Queen's right. Half of Solomon's glory couldn't be told. Like I said earlier, I promise you a fraction of the glory of Christ can't be told. It's impossible. You know, when Christ was first revealed to me, I remember those. That I don't know when I first came to know the Lord, but I remember that time frame. And it seemed to me like every single message I heard was just life-altering. What I could see. The Lord is so merciful. And I thought, where have I been? I wanted to ask Henry sometimes, how come you didn't tell me this before? How come you didn't tell me how glorious peace with God is in Christ? How come you didn't tell me the peace of forgiveness of sin in his blood? Just look and rest. Look and live. How come you didn't tell me? I go back. I listen to a lot of old messages on sermon audio. And it confirmed what I thought. He told me. I was deaf and couldn't hear. I was blind and couldn't see. But when God gave me ears to hear, oh, I heard. When he gave me eyes to see, I saw. And I just overwhelmed at who he is and what he's done. And you might wonder, Frank, why have you told me just half of this? Just half? Well, it's because I don't know half. I don't care how long and how well a man preaches, he'll never tell a fraction of the glory of Christ. But you know what? That ain't going to stop me from trying. I'm going to keep trying. Because if we can't take more than a fraction of the glory of Christ right now. We just couldn't take it. We'd just melt. But what God has been pleased to reveal to us, just that fraction of what he's been pleased to reveal to us, is enough to save. It's enough to comfort. It's enough to give us everything we need. So we keep preaching. Even though we can't tell a fraction of that, we're going to keep preaching. Well, here's my third question, or fifth question, last one. How did she leave? We saw why she came. We saw how she came. We saw what she learned. We saw her reaction. Now, how did she leave? Verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. The Queen of Sheba, she gave to Solomon a lot, didn't she? All these things that she brought and gave him as a gift. But I know this, she left with a whole lot more than she came with. She left with a whole lot more. She left with an understanding of who God is. She left with a whole lot more than she came with. Solomon, it says, gave her everything she asked for. She just going through his kingdom, and she liked that, she wanted it, he said, yours, take it. Everything she asked for, he gave her. And more. There are some things she didn't ask for. And Solomon says, you need this, you take it. Aren't you thankful? There are things I don't even know to ask for. And God in his mercy says, you need this, I'm going to give it to you anyway. He gives us everything we ask for and more. Now I know we give, we bring an offering, we come to worship. But I promise you, we leave with a whole lot more than we came with. We leave with a whole lot more than we gave. King Christ gives to his people everything we need.
forgiveness of sin, eternal life, peace with God, acceptance in Him, and more. He gives us everything of His royal bounty. God doesn't need anything from us, but we need everything from Him. And He gives it freely to His people. Christ gives His people Himself. Now that's the unspeakable gift. You just can't tell the value. If you have Christ, you've got it all. Because He is all. Now I implore you, you do what the Queen of Sheba did. She said, I heard, but I had to come see this for myself. Now you've heard a fraction of the glory of Christ. Now come to Him. Come to Him and see for yourself. You've heard He forgives sin. Come to Him. Prove Him with a hard question. Will You forgive my sin? Lord, would You forgive me? Come to Him and for yourself. One greater than Solomon's here. Come to Him with your need. Come to Him empty-handed to be your Savior and be your King. And I can tell you right now, you know how you leave? You leave full. You leave with it all because Christ is all. One greater than Solomon is here. The half cannot be told. What a sight we do. It's just a fraction. You imagine what's going to be like there with nothing between. The half can't be told. Let's bow in prayer.